Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The Father is good. Amen?
Amen.
All the time. And the key word, Father. We refer to Him as Father because we are His children.
Hallelujah.
And we're going to be looking at the emphasis of children in our Torah portion in Genesis 47, verse 12. And that's tough. We're going to make our way there, children. I'm about to say Brother Rob lost his mind. But, you know, whenever it came to this, about, I want to say a week and a half ago, it came across my radar. And then considering everything that we've been looking at and everything that the Father's been doing with His Word for each and every one of us, it's incredible. Because, oh man, I'm already getting choked up. Because we have a Father that does not quit. He does not give up. So neither should we give up. We got to be a believer's example. We received that from Brother Marcel. The Father gives us plenty of examples of do's and don'ts, and that's been this whole journey for us, is learning His likes and His dislikes. Because as good children, we want to please our Father. And anyone that's a parent can attest to when a child is good, obedient, and listens. Even teachers, I'm sure, can attest to this. They are good. All is good. All is well. You know, and with that, I was reminded. I love when my wife comes home and she shares stories with me about her experiences with the children at the elementary school. And probably one of my favorites so far was whenever she had to have a student count backwards. And the girl goes, all right, from what? From five. Okay, no problem. One, two, three, four, five. I was like, oh, I might be related to that kid. Well, you see, there's a type of joy that comes from that childlike behavior, that childlike innocence. Because that's the key for us. Because we can't just start acting like a child at our current ages. But it's the innocence. Because as this flesh grows old with time, that inner spirit man should be getting younger and more innocent, childlike nature. Before we start diving into the scriptures, I'm trying to make it a routine that whenever I look at the total scale of what it is that the Father was dealing with me with, I kind of want a small summary that encapsulates most of it. And what I was able to get from that, of course, everything being in Yah's divine blessings and provision, that's within that chapter. But I got family peace through Jehovah's ways is foundational for everything else succeeding. If we want success in life, we have to be willing to trust our Father to follow His ways. Just like the exciting moments when you get to see little Junior, whoever, start to take their first steps. And it's because they learned it from our example. Right. It's excitement. And you know when the Father sees us in our spiritual walk and we're taking those steps and learning how to walk and then we start getting some momentum, He's excited. It moves Him. It literally just completely blesses Him. And that's a beautiful thing to realize, is that we can bless the one that blesses us through our obedience. And we see primary examples through the Torah portion that Yaakov, and I'm so thankful for the information Pastor Josh shared with me, because I was able to use another tool that helped me through this. Because I love being able to simplify and capsulize the totalness of the message. And this is going to just be coming to me, and I'm just going to be letting it go. Because I'm always like trying to be systematic. I'm always trying to make sure I stick with the script. Respectfully, stick with the scriptures. But when I say the script, I'm talking about my notes, like a prompt. I'm not the president. I don't have to make sure that every little line is going and flowing away. But in regards to blessings, Baruch, something that has been mentioned. Brother Scott had mentioned it. Pastor Josh had mentioned it. But Baruch, that key element of the fact that Yaakov, whenever he went in and when he went out, blessed Pharaoh. Someone that stood in that opposition. And there, we can say, it's plenty of opposition with this world that we live in, with the things that are going on and the things that are taking place. But our posture as His children, we have to make sure that we approach correctly. That's what Goshen is for. That's what our ability to draw near is, a certain location and place that the Father wants us to settle in and receive that lechem, that bread, the word. So that way we could receive nourishment in our walk. And so that way we can keep going forward and do what it is that He called us to do, even if we've done things in our life to set back the timeline that the Father had and His plan for us. Because even in exile, we are still to be a blessing. We are still to go forward and do what it is that the Father has called us to do. All these things are ultimately review. These are things that were given to us. These are things that moved me. Because sometimes you just don't realize that each and every one of us is going through something. There's something happening. There's things taking place. But thankfully, He has given us a Goshen to where we can come together, settle down, little children, and enjoy the bread and learn. Because I couldn't imagine if I was a teacher working out of school and there was no rules. And there was no place to settle down. I'm sure that would be considered wild child zone. And we've had our wild child moments, but respectfully, we want to make sure that we're being children of the Most High. Let's go to Proverbs 22, verse 6. And then after that, if you're taking notes, I'm going to just say it ahead of time. Another Proverbs is verse 17, 6. Now, sometimes when I'm going through my studies, and I know that we're literally up in the bread factory over here. There's plenty of bread, and there's plenty of word that goes through. So with that being said, a lot of times whenever you're in that study and you kind of wonder, maybe this was referred to 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. It's okay. It's been the same word for thousands of years, and we're going to repeat it. So, but verse 6 of Proverbs 22 says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he turns a knot away from him. One of the greatest blessings of inheritance for a child is to be able to receive that word. And we're going to see in that verse 12 that there's an emphasis on the little ones, that taf. Because Messiah, literally, in the same way that Joseph is showing them through that example for the little ones, Messiah did not reject the little ones or look at little children as, hey, little fellow, we're doing important things, just hold on. But instead, put them up on a little podium and said, you need to be like this to be considered greatest in the kingdom of the heavens. And when I thought about that, it reminded me of when I was little Robert with my little personality. I tell you what, this little moment that I was reminded of, because man, when you're digging through photos and stuff like that, you find stuff, and there's me throwing up the peace sign, cheesing hard, a smile ear to ear with all them teeth functioning. I'm missing a couple now in the back. But I was cheesing away, and I had a little black cat in my arm like this, and Elmo in the other arm. Those were my companions. And what's funny is, this is the type of personality I had that the Father created with, all the way down to that size. I remember time and time again, boy, you can't have that black cat. You know, black cats are bad luck. They're bad luck. So you know what I did? I named the cat Lucky. I was a smart little child. I'm thankful that the Father made me the way that He made me. Because I was just like, well, you ain't bad luck no more. Well, she ain't bad luck no more. That was my little protector. Everything I would go do on my little pirate adventures, all this and that in the yard next to the trailer, that was Lucky. Following me around, protecting me. It's beautiful how these memories can come back whenever you're spending time with the Father. And you know what's beautiful about it? It's a testament to the fact that even when we did not know Him, even when we did not know Him, and we were going through some of the hardest times of our lives, feeling that darkness, feeling that pain, and it hurts so much more when you don't know Him, but He was there. He was there, and He continues to be here for us like a good father. He is a good, good father. Let's see what else Proverbs says about children. And there's plenty. There's plenty in the Word. But Proverbs 17:6 highlights that children's children are the crown of old men and old women and the adornment of children is their fathers. I can tell you right now, I knew I was my grandparents' favorite, especially when I was the only one. Because when I would go around them, I would always hear from my mother, "Well, you got it good. They didn't treat us like that." I was like, "Just look at me, Mom." But there's a special gift that comes from being able to see generations right before your eyes. And it's a gift of the Father. It's a blessing. And He wants us to make sure that we stay focused on the goal. Because the goal is He set His Son at His right hand to make sure that our little ones can be able to receive that bread that has sustained us and has kept us going forward. Now, we're going to start making our way through this portion, walking to verse 12. And I promise I'm not going to sit there and take a 30-minute break on each and every verse. But it's for the continuation and repetition. And I have to remind myself, because a lot of times I just want to jump the gun and just be like, no, I'm going to skip over it, get right to the point. But the Father reminds me, just like working out, just like exercise, just like anything, like a successful business owner, is through repetition that you get better and better. But verse 1 of Genesis 47 says, "Then Yosef went and spoke to Pharaoh and said, 'My father and my brothers, their flocks and their herds and all that they possess have come from the land of Canaan. And see, they are in the land of Goshen.'" Our ability to draw near the Father's providential care. "And he took 5 men from among his brothers and presented them to Pharaoh." And we know that this is a key stamp of the Father's favor. "And Pharaoh said to his brothers, 'What is your occupation?' And they said to Pharaoh, 'Your servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers.'" And I just wanted to take a quick second, and I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the way Brother Scott and Pastor Josh brought that part out and really emphasizing on the importance of how we need to remain in our identity. If the Father says we're shepherds, we're what? Shepherds. And we have to be okay with that. Because societally, that wasn't a licentious lifestyle, like Brother Scott was pointing out. Shepherds probably smelled bad and probably looked wore out because of the level of work that they had to do. And let's attest, sometimes, I'm leave the smell part for me since I'm the garbage man, but sometimes our day-to-day efforts can show physically. But thankfully, the Spirit's getting younger and more childlike in nature, and that's what keeps us going. Because whenever we're told to stand because we cannot stand no more, it's the Word's way of reminding us that it's not by our own physical efforts, but in our times of weakness and when we wore out, that the Father is going to be the one that keeps pushing us along and helping us through each and every moment. "And they said to Pharaoh, 'We have come to dwell in the land because there is no pasture for your servants' flocks. For the scarcity of food is severe in the land of Canaan. Now please let your servants dwell in the land of Goshen.' And Pharaoh spoke to Yosef, saying, 'Your father and your brothers have come to you. The land of Mishraim is before you. Settle your father and your brothers in the best of the land. Let them dwell in the land of Goshen. And if you know of capable men among them, then make them chief herdsmen over my livestock.'" I remember it was about probably a month ago whenever I was led to look at capable men and what's the importance of realizing what that means. And we could go on a whole 30-minute tour of that. But ultimately, it's talking about people with integrity. With integrity. The willingness to stand up, rise up, allow your identity to be in Him, and keep pressing forward to do the right thing no matter whatever else the world is doing around them. Because I can tell you right now, Pharaoh probably had his hands full. He's living in a society where they don't want nothing to do with shepherding. But does Pharaoh have cattle? Does he have flocks? Does he have livestock that needs tending to? So he needs people with integrity, especially in a time of famine when you think about it. Because I'm pretty sure there might have been a couple of Egyptians that were looking at some of that livestock like, that's Burger King, that's McDonald's, and that's right now. Let's get that cow. Just go right after it. But it doesn't end up belonging to them. Because we know further along in the chapter, whenever they have to surrender their lifestyle, surrender all their goods, then the responsibility is even increased more. But thankfully, there's capable men, men of integrity that's willing to go forth and do the right thing, no matter how empty their stomachs may be. But we know they got bread. And that's what we need to focus on, is that bread, because that's what sustains us to keep going even in the times of famine. On a quick note, this helped me out because I didn't see it before until I looked at the information, is the very next verse, who he brings after being requested to bring someone of integrity. It's his father, Yaakov. And literally that says a lot about how Yosef shows forth what he sees in his father. Because a lot of times when we look at the life of Yaakov, because we've been looking at the life of Yosef, but when we look at the life of Yaakov, we see a lot of mistakes. We see a lot of times where he took things into his own hands. You know, I remember whenever we learned about all the different things about whenever his hip got put out of place and it changed his way of walking forever because he was wrestling with the messenger. It literally says a lot whenever you can give him the nickname the Handler for a wrestling title. But in reality, it resonated with me because there's a lot of times I try to take control of things myself. And there's so many times I catch myself, even, you know, and that's the thing I'm thankful for, that the Father instilled in me a spirit that's able to just slow down and listen. Because there's a lot of times where I was like, I got this coming up this week. I got to make sure that this is prepared. I got to make sure this is prepared, this, and that. And I get it. I might not have the literal busiest compared to others, because there's people out there in here that's got more stuff going on than me. But then everybody has their own little corridor, what they used to, whenever it comes to a lot going on. So sometimes in my bubble, I think I got a lot going on, and I'm trying to go through things with putting my hands on it, and the Father's just like, who's in charge? You want to do you? Go do you. But you need to watch that hip. That's how he reminds me. Look, I'm being so serious. I do not want to end up with truck driver hip. So I'm praying, and it's a thing. It's really a thing, truck driver hip. I don't know if they also call it office hip, but truck driver hip is because you be sitting down, and you're not just sitting down on a normal chair. You're sitting down going like that. Oh, I felt everything jiggle. So, and it's nonstop. But, you know, I pray to the Father, please allow my functionality to remain as long as possible. And he said, allow your effort to match your prayer. I got back in the gym. But it's true that we got to be mindful and careful about not being wise in our own eyes, because that also fits perfectly with that. And that was ringing through my ears and across my eyes this week, because there was a couple of times I wanted to put the paka. I was like, nah, holy man. Well, there's something that really encapsulates that verse, and it's in 1 Peter chapter 2. And let's go there. And keeping in mind of all the different words that's being said tonight and references towards children and our behavior and where do we receive our nourishment, and we know that Yeshua is a lechem. He is that living bread that we have to receive. But in Peter's addressment to those that walk in integrity, those that want to receive the word on good ground, it says, having put aside, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, having put aside then all evil and all deceit and hypocrisies and envyings and all evil words, as newborn babes, desire the unadulterated milk of the word in order that you grow by it. I remember when Pastor Josh brought up that Proverbs 3 and it mentioned the moistening to our bones and the healing to our navel. And he also made reference about how you told milk, it does good for you. It's supposed to do good for your bones. We told calcium, it makes you strong. But we know that the world's been spending a whole lot of time adding and taking away things out of milk, and use those words in particular for a reason. Then modified it, twisted it so much, they still tell you it's the good same old thing. But I can tell you right now, we're probably drinking alien juice. We don't know what's in that jug. And it's probably making our bones weaker. Because why? Because the medical field sometimes benefits more on us being weaker. But thankfully, we serve Almighty Yah, that no weapon shall prosper against us. And with that being said, we also be more mindful of what milk we drink. Well, I'm not going to go down the health and fitness rabbit hole tonight. We're going to keep moving in this bread factory. But now we're on verse 3 of 1 Peter chapter 2. It says, if indeed you have tasted that the Master is good. And we can all testify, just like Brother Scott mentioned last week, that if it was testimony time, each and every one of us would have a testimony because we have tasted and have seen the goodness of Almighty Yah in each and every one of our lives, even through our hardest days. But it also says, drawing near to Him. It's always about posture. It's always about where He wants us, location. Drawing near to Him, a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by Elohim and precious. And because we follow our Master and His ways and we walk after Him, that allows us the opportunity to be seen in that same light because we are the body of Him. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a set-apart priesthood to offer up spiritual slaughter offerings acceptable to Elohim through Yeshua Messiah. And this is me getting ahead of myself because I allow myself, if He reminds me right then and there on the spot, then it might as well go. But dealing with the word of little ones, that's tav, and there's a word that parallels that in the Hebrew, and we're familiar with it, is b'nei, or ben. And a lot of times whenever we hear Jewish names, they have Yosef ben Avraham, or, you know, so on and so forth. And then we also can relate to the fact that prophetically, that we could refer to Yeshua as Mashiach ben Yosef, or Mashiach ben David. That ben is a signifier of something that is being joined together that builds up a house. And ultimately, we want to make sure that we're being built up as part of the house of Elohim, because that's the only true place that people that are seeking refuge in this time of darkness and famine can actually be able to benefit from His presence radiating off of us. I'll let y'all choose if you want to be a door or some drywall or pretty flowers on the counter. But we are the ones that ultimately make up the house, the spiritual house of Elohim. A set-apart priesthood to offer up a spiritual slaughter offerings acceptable to Elohim through Yeshua Messiah. Because it is contained in the scripture, see, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, chosen, precious, and he who believes on Him shall by no means be put to shame. This preciousness, then, is for you who believe, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock that makes for falling. Who stumble because they are disobedient to the word, to which they were also appointed. And of course we know, and you know the thing is, this is actually a review, because whenever I was dealing with the capable men, this is whenever I went into the section, but there's a lower half to the section that applies, because we have to be willing to submit to authority. Because we see that in the parallel of the brother's life and how they rejected their brother, and we know how it goes. We get it time and time again whenever we see these parallels. But we see that parallel literally going over and over and over again throughout history. Because a lot of times, whenever we allow ourselves to fall to envy, jealousy, whatever thing that may be plaguing our hearts that's trying to get to our spiritual man, can cause us to end up stumbling, but ultimately, as the word's saying here, God forbid, because the very thing that we're doing could end up being us saying we reject the cornerstone, and then stumbling comes our way. But thankfully, there's mercy whenever we have moments where we allow the old man, the flesh, to raise up. The paka moments. That was echoing through my head all week. But you, a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a set-apart nation, a people for a possession, that you shall proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And that's what it's the benefits of integrity. Who once were not a people, but now the people of Elohim, who not obtained compassion, but now obtained compassion. And we know that was a key highlight in a believer's example with Brother Marcel, because we know that mercy triumphs over judgment. And the reality is, each and every one of us has fallen short. Each and every one of us was found in that broken state to need a compassion, but in reality, we've done a lot of different things. And sometimes we find ourselves edging our way back there, or maybe potentially too far back there. But the reality is, he continues to show us compassion. And also the realization of the fact that we reap what we sow, just consider that he is balancing the scales in a way that will absolutely blow our mind. Because there's things that we have sown in good that we end up probably benefiting from and reaping in the moments that we fall short. Because you think about it, the enemy is going to be like, you see what they did? You see what they just did? You see, I gave them an offer. They took it. I mean, I didn't force them to do it. They wanted it. I said, do it. You did it. But the Father, being reminded by the one that's advocating for us, Yeshua, says, yeah, but you remember when they did this? You remember when they did this? You remember when they did this? You remember when they poured their heart out to you and kept pressing forward? Of course, he remembers. He holds on to that. Because the enemy's trying to convince us that we're just that moment. But in reality, the Father's trying to remind us, you're much, much more than that. You're my child. And each and every one of us has to remember that we got to keep pressing forward. The loved ones, I appeal to you as sojourners and pilgrims. Why? Because we're literally enduring that time of exile. Each and every one of us, we could be in the garden, but sin entered into the world. We're still in exile. We're still sojourning. We're still being pilgrims, but we're still doing what it is that he expects from us. So that way we can enter in. I appeal to you as sojourners and pilgrims to abstain from fleshly lusts which battle against the being. Having your behavior among the nations good, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, let them. By observing your good works, esteem Elohim in the day of visitation. And it's a beautiful reminder of the fact that literally when people want to run their mouth, because that's what happens, there's a mouth marathon that takes place every so often, every so few minutes, especially whenever we're going through it or may have made mistakes, whatever the case. He said, let them. Whatever measure you measure out will be measured back. You know, it's interesting because I had a conversation with a social media influencer that has had a rough start because of bad decisions that he made. And I was going through the comments and I saw all the different things like that. So I private messaged him and I said, don't let the hate consume you, because he literally proclaimed he turned his life over. He's turning his life over to Christ. I said, just always remember whatever measure is measured out, it'll be measured back. And that's all I said, and I got to thank you. So I was just like, I mean, to me, it was like a Hail Mary, because it's just like this person has millions of followers and so on and so forth. I doubt that they were going to see the message. But the reality is, I'm thankful for the time that I was spending in this certain areas, being reminded, and had a simple reminder like that. Maybe I can get a free cookbook out of it. No, I'm just joking, but still. Let's continue. Now this area, submission to authority. Because when I was considering this, I know I keep pausing, but I'm thankful that all this is coming back the way it is. But submission to authority, in reality, that's something that the flesh, we obviously know, struggles. If I bring up the speed limit, I'm sure each and every one of us probably backs our right foot up a little bit, you know, because we're trying to let off the gas when I bring it up. But I mean, literally today, my boss said, this is the fastest I've ever seen anybody take a garbage truck from Slidell back to Plaquemines Parish. It's a little scary and impressive. I mean, I told him, the Father gave me all green lights, so I had to take that blessing and go. Because I got my truck back. And they detailed it, they fully serviced it, it's got a new engine in it. I'm going to be picking up that garbage in style. That was the garbage man. I'm going to copyright that dance move just now. But yeah, the Father is good. And you know, the reality is we need to make sure that we're allowing ourselves not to get caught up in any moments and submit to the authority. Because what it says here can be challenging, especially in the times that we're living in. It says, be subject to every institution of man because of the master, whether to the sovereign as supreme. And I took a little pause and put the justice system. Because respectfully, there's a lot of policies and rules out there that can contradict the ways of the Father. And obviously, he does not want us to submit ourselves in that way. But in a favorable way that represents his personality as being good children. But it continues, sovereign as supreme, or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of doers of evil, and a praise for those who do good. Because such is the desire of Elohim, that by doing good, you should put them to silence the ignorance of foolish men. So actions speak louder than words. As free, yet not using your freedom as a cloak for evil, but as servants of Elohim. And I put a little note there because sometimes I genuinely struggle when I read, and it's just like it's not coming to me, and I feel like I don't talk this way. I know it's articulating itself a certain way, but I just don't understand fully what it means. And I pray, and it was like, okay, it's simple. Don't use your image, your identity, to get away with doing wrong. And there's so many times where that temptation can be there. Yeah. Hey, family meeting. I'm going to tell on myself. And I've said it before. I've had a past of violence, and I had a past of just acting out of the flesh. And I didn't, you know, just did what I did. But there's times where I'm just like, you know what? They just said something really off the wall to me. And I want to be their dentist. No one will know, because it's be like, hey, look, Rob's a holy man. He wouldn't do something like that. You know, keeping my hand behind my back. Like, that's right. I would never do that. We don't want to ever use our identity as a cloak. And that's how I was able to remember that. Because you think about it, all the times that Yosef was in those positions, that he could have got away with something because he had a good track record. Especially whenever he was getting a good credit score with Pharaoh. Like, a little lanyard, a little extra off the top, no one I ever know. No, not a single speck, not a single grain because of integrity. And now his brothers are positioned in a place to where they have to settle, they have to learn, and they have to follow after that believer's example. Verse 17, respect all, love the brotherhood, fear Elohim, respect the sovereign. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only the good one, not only the good and gentle, but also the crooked ones. And I could use a quick example at work. The guys get mad all the time. Well, you never get yelled at. You put the garbage truck in the ditch. You knock down a power line. And they're going to give you a cookie for it. We get yelled at. We get this. And you get. That's because you're constantly trying to tell the boss how to do his job. You know what I do? Yes, sir. No, sir. What else do you need? I'm going to go do this. I'm going to do that. And y'all can say my nose is brown all y'all want, but I'm smelling flowers. And it's the truth. The word is literally attest to the fact that, because look, whoo, what I used to be, whoo, that creature didn't deserve a job anywhere. Because I was always trying to be the one to be like, I'm going to figure out how I'm going to become Sam Walton. I'm going to take over Walmart. I'm going to take over this. It's nothing but pride and stupidity. Like, and that's all that is. When I say the Father, no other way I could put it, humbled the hell out of me because of everything that I went through. He did a good job. And I'm thankful. So I could show up and be like, yes, sir, no, sir. Whatever you need, it's garbage. Well, let's continue in this. Well, this is favor. This is favor. If because of conscience, our mind, toward Elohim, anyone bears up under grief, suffering unrighteously, for what credit is there in enduring a beating when you sin? Because we know if we've done it, we deserve it. But if you suffer for doing good and you endure, this finds favor with Elohim. We see that time and time again. So, if you just got your church face on and you're going through it and nobody else knows about it, all I got to say is keep enduring. Because you're about to receive that full throttle favor. And you're going to end up smelling flowers. For this you were called, because Messiah also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Who being reviled did not revile in return, suffering did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. That's why he's qualified. Who himself bore our sins in his body on the timber, so that we, having died to sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. And in the time we're currently facing and things that we have currently on the horizon, we are praying for healing because it's already been done for us, for each and every one of us. Before you were like sheep going astray, but now return to the shepherd and overseer of your beings. Hallelujah. And I knew I was coming up to this. I was just like, it's gonna be a quick review. I'm just gonna go through it. We're gonna hit the high points and just move on. And you know, and I look at the time because I use technology to have my notes. And that's whenever you start feeling the more the menorah, because you're just like, all right, dude, now you got to get to the thing that you opened up with. So let's move through this. We're back in our Torah portion, Genesis 47, verse 7. I'm not going to go super fast, but I'm going to try and keep it in fifth gear. And Yosef brought in his father, Yaakov, and set him before Pharaoh, and Yaakov blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Yaakov, how old are you? And Yaakov said to Pharaoh, the days of the years of my sojournings are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years. And I'm going to just say this quickly. That absolutely helped me so much. And just realizing that a lot of times we are so busy caught up with the years that we forget the days. And that we need to make sure that we're keeping with it and make sure that we pay attention to the days, because that's what makes the years. And our commitment will be a reflection of it. Trust me, there was more to say on that, but enough has already been said. So of my life, days of the years of my life, and they have not reached the days of the years of the life of my fathers and the days of their sojournings. We'll just say, Yaakov's been through it, but didn't give up. Verse 10, and Yaakov blessed Pharaoh and went out before Pharaoh, going in and going out. Verse 11, so Yosef settled his father and his brothers and gave them a possession in the land of Mishraim, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had commanded. Verse 12. And Joseph provided his father and his brothers and all his father's household with bread for the mouth of the little ones. And, you know, I just want to say, Almighty Yah is all about family. This is our family meetings. We are family. We are brothers and sisters. And an incredible family of the Father. Each and every one of us has family out there that we long to see be able to enter into this family. Because we know the benefits of being the child of the Most High. It's our job to make sure that we're these spiritual houses and that we're providing an opportunity to come sit at the table and receive that bread. That same bread that has sustained each and every one of us. But we have to make sure we remain in that position to where we can be considered a child of the Most High. There's only one or two options. I know a lot of times we make reference to Mount, might need help with it. Is it Ebal and Gerizim? Did I get that correctly? And then there's a place in the middle. That place a lie. That's Ebal. Ebal. Make sure we stay out of that. Remain in the benefits of the Father. But the little ones, dealing with this Toph, that's the age 29:45. And it says, perhaps referring to the tripping gait of children. Now, when I first read this, I read it fast. I thought gait was gait. Like straight up. So there's a gate that opens up and trips children? No. That's why sometimes we got to slow down, reread, go over again. It's G-A-I-T, the tripping gate. Tripping, I told myself I wasn't going to do it. But, you know, Pastor Josh ran. So, the tripping gate is how kids trip along. You know, whenever they hit the, oh, see, that's why I wasn't going to do it. With the la, 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 la. La 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 la. So there's a song, there's a dance that goes with that song. And my ankles are hurting. Whoa, 250 hit hard whenever it come back on the ground. All right. I thought everybody would get a good trip out of that. So but it's the tripping gait of the children. Toph is supposed to be this expressive Hebrew word that shows, that comes to life and shows the livelihood of a child. That's why that inner spiritual man needs to become younger and innocent like a child and ready to go, whew, ready to run whenever he says run, ready to dance whenever he says dance, ready to sing whenever he says sing. And look, I'm going to be honest. I've never thought of myself as someone that could sing. Like how Sister Kim said earlier. She said, I sing solo. So low that nobody can hear me. I was like, yeah, I feel that. I feel that. I try and sing under the radar all the time. But sometimes we got to just allow ourselves to be uncomfortable and an opportunity to praise the Father. Because I can tell you right now, you could have your little child sound like the little seagull off of the Little Mermaid with the wah, 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 wah. But that's your child. And you just so caught up in them being so cute, so silly, and just singing. And you're like, that's beautiful. That's how the Father sees it. So I'm going to keep replaying that in my head whenever I go to sing. And if anybody falling over or plugging their ears, I'd be like, but the Father loves it. I'm telling you, we got to take the right approach to it because it's an opportunity. I'm excited for it. Look, I'm going to tell y'all right now, when I went home after that Bible study, instead of molly grubbing around and being like, I can't sing, man. I used to get made fun of when I sang. I mean, I sung one Hank Williams song and it's over. I ain't even going to say the lyrics tonight. But look, I even went home. I was like, no, I'm not going to get into molly grubbing. I'm not going to do none of that. I'm like, you know what I mean? I started going, Do, Re, Mi, Fa, Sol. Thank you. I was asking my wife, I could have looked it up, and I was just like, man, I couldn't remember the rest, so I was stuck on so. And you know, Brother Rob likes to say so. Right? I was practicing it because I've been telling myself I was in band for like 4 years. Played the trumpet, the French horn. I tried everything in the world to get on the drummers, but the band teacher told me, we have enough drummers, you have the lips of a trumpet player. I was like, all you need is lips to play the trumpet. But you know, who knows? Maybe I'll be able to knock the dust off of that talent and, you know, praise the Father with it. So it's all prayerful and considerable things. But yeah, in band, that's where we learned them notes. And you know, I think it was Almighty Yah when I was just hitting them notes that they were as steady as what they were. Because usually it sounds like a creature trying to crawl out of a sewer whenever I'm singing. But anyway, let's move on. It's like anything else, it takes practice and effort. All right. Now, the ancient Hebrew, it's got things here that we could look at if we want to, but it literally is just literally saying, emphasizing the tripping around of children. The playing around of children, the skipping around of children. Brown Jarvis Briggs, children, little children, little ones. And I have the word study tool that I added on here. And it says, a masculine singular noun meaning child, little one, though the term is sometimes used in parallel construction with banim, or bene, which would be the singular. And that's H1121. And we got an example in Deuteronomy 1, verse 39, where we can find that these two words, taf and benay, are being used in parallel to each other. And that's important because I'm just showing my homework of how I'm able to maneuver into the next set of scriptures. Because I wasn't able to find much, at least in my effort, on Toph whenever it came to certain Greek connections. But with B'nai, there's more that we can get from. But one just alludes to son, and the other is just alluding to the little children in general. But 139, for the example, it says, and your little ones, and your children, who you say are for prey, who today have no knowledge of good and evil, so they're innocent. They are going in there, and to them I give it, and they are to possess it. Now, if we remember the context surrounding that, it is a re-summation of the events that took place whenever he sent the 12 spies to go out, because they were about to go and take the land, and we only got two that were willing to come back with the right attitude, because they know the Father can do anything. And then 10 came back with that bad report. That bad report came with a curse. It came with a punishment. And respectfully, if you go through it and you realize, see, they had the opportunity to do right because the Father said, no. Don't get ahead of yourself. Don't go and try and take over the Amorites now because you done got the punishment. Like, stay behind and take you behind and fall in line. It was their opportunity to make it right. And sometimes we got to endure hard times because of the fact that there's just things that he wants to show us through discipline because he loves us, that he's trying to take care of us even every step of the way. But here's the thing. This is his judgment that we're being shown right here. Because there's certain things that literally we may have done that will not fall upon the ones that he sees as innocent. And I know that there are certain things that can carry over through generations. But that's if the children want to learn from that or if they want to continue in the Father. And the Father speaking prophetically because he knew that they would go in and follow him the way that he was instructing. But in time, we receive those tests more and more. I'm trying to keep this moving along. B'nai, that H1121, as mentioned here, I'm not going to go through the every little excerpt that they have there to explain it because it's a lot. But it says a son as a builder of the family name in the widest sense of literal and figurative relationship, including grandson, subject, nation, quality, or condition, etc. And I'll leave it at that, etc. We'll keep moving through it because there's something important here because we're family tonight. This message is about family, and remembering how important it is that we see how the Father sees us. So the ancient Hebrew, I love this one because we've had this one before. We've seen this one before. But it's a good reminder of how the family unit functions within this. But its primitive, its parent root, I should say, is the Beit and the Nun. Its action is building. The concrete is tent panel. And the abstract is intelligence. And those are all just key words that's expounding upon what it's trying to tell us. But it says the pictograph Beit is a picture of the tent, the Nun is the picture of the sprouting seed, and represents continuity. As the seed continues the next generation, the combined meaning of these letters mean the continuing of the house. And that's something that we should draw essence from, because even though that is referring to the word taf in verse 12, we could see that B'nai is something that can be applicable to that section because of the fact that it's referring to children. And those children have sons in it. Those children are ultimately part of the process of the house being built up. And that's why it's so important for us to receive the bread, the lechem, the word, so that way we can make sure that we're functioning properly within his house. I mean, hey, I've been in homes where I don't know how them 2x4s, 2x whatevers, toothpicks, was holding up certain supports and beams. But that's uncomfortable. The Father wants to make sure that we're providing a comfortable place for those that are looking to dwell within him. Thank you, Father, for helping me get that out. He is so good. The combined meaning of these letters mean the continuing of the house. The tent was constructed of woven goat hair. Over time, the sun bleaches and weakens the goat hair, necessitating their continual replacement. But I love this because everything has a purpose. It's not just getting rid of. But it says, each year the women, make a new panel approximately 3 feet wide and the length of the tent. I'm going to have to start wearing them glasses. The old panel is removed, being recycled into a wall or a floor, and the new strip is added to the tent. Since the tent is only replaced one small piece at a time, the tent essentially lasts forever. And that's a beautiful representation of that. And the reason that we had to go through that before we went to the section that it speaks of, A and N, is so that way we can get that imagery in our mind. And keep in mind that this tent, this structure, this house that's being raised up is being set into place with each and every one of us as part of that house. And this is the continual importance of our position and our roles here, because we have to make sure we're firing on all cylinders for the sake of the little ones. I'm sorry, there's a lot running through my mind. There, this is section A and N. There are many similarities between building a tent out of goat hair panels and building a house out of sons. The idea of building a house with sons can be seen in Genesis 30, verse 3, and that says, and she said, this is Rachel speaking, because this is during the time that I gave the little nickname, the Real Housewives of Israel, because all the things were unfolding, their babies popping out over there, over here, and all over the place. There's a lot of chaos going on, a lot of drama. But there's a lot of key elements that we could get from that, because that's just a reality of what happens when we try and take things into our own hands. But it says, and she said, see my female servant Bilhah, go into her and let her bear for me, and let me be built up from her as well. And that referencing is the fact that because she was longing to be able to provide for her husband what she wasn't able to, even though Father gave Leah that favor because of the judgment and all the harsh things that she was receiving, she found herself in that position of humility and gave 5 support beams that are very pivotal and very important. Now, I want to go through each and all that, but stay on track. So the Greek of equivalent of bene, is G3813, and I'm just showing y'all the little plugins on how I got to where each and every spot that I got to. That is padion, pahedion. Almost went full nerd right there and said Padawan from Star Wars. But it says neuter diminutive of G3816, it means a childling. And it's referring to the same thing we're talking about, children. Matthew 18, verse 1 through verse 6. We got to make sure we get the words of the master in here. At that time, the taught ones came to Yeshua saying, "Who then is greatest in the reign of the heavens?" And Yeshua called a little child to him and set him in their midst and said, "Truly, I say to you, unless you turn and become as little children, you shall by no means enter into the reign of the heavens. Whoever then humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the reigns of the heavens. And whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it is better for him that a millstone be hung around his neck and that he be drowned in the depth of the sea." Which I think is an incredible emphasis on how important the little ones, literal, whoo, that's hard, little ones. I cannot say that two times. On how important in his eyes they are. Because a lot of times, as adults, we could literally allow ourselves to get so caught up in what it is that we're going to do, pressing forward and making sure we're doing all the right things. And it's good to strive for righteousness. It's good to strive for the goals of the heavenlies and know what it is that's being stored up there. It's an investment. We can invest in real time. I'm going to sound like a commercial. We can invest in real time right now. I almost threw up a price, but I don't want to get slapped. And literally the heavenly storehouse, to where whenever that marital moment happens when the heaven and earth come together and they're joined and we get to enter in to that goodness, we get to enjoy all the things that we were binding and having up there. There's things being stored for us. We got to make sure that we keep that mindset. I'll put it this way, imagination of a child. Because when little Robert was growing up in La Rose, I lived in a single wide trailer. My stepdad and mom had holes and nails. There's so many memories. And no electricity, sometimes no water. Went days without eating. But man, all I needed was my dinosaur toys, a kitten, Lucky, Elmo. Well, it didn't matter. I wasn't there. I was enjoying life to the fullest. Not even fully aware of that state of poverty. I know there's worse. You know, I've been homeless myself for a time period. But literally, you could be going through it, and you imagine the Father and allow Him to be that Father to you? Or you think you're in Disneyland while you're going through it? you think you're going to be having every good moment? You know what? The Father's good to me. I know His promises. I know His guarantees. All I got to do is focus on His goodness and trust Him through the process. And that's what we got to do each and every step of the way. Now, I thought this was interesting because the next mention is going to be in Matthew chapter 19, verse 13 through 15. Only three verses, because I'm thinking this is just one chapter over. He just warned them that you're going to get some millstone necklaces and it's going to bring you to the bottom of the sea. A quick trip down. So, I mean, to me, they might have had some taught ones that were not listening. And this is a testament to the fact that it's important to listen. Because in Matthew 19:13-15, it says, then young children were brought to him to lay hands on them and pray, and the taught ones rebuked them. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that he literally just warned them. Don't make them stumble. We can never allow the little ones to see Yeshua as less than. But instead, they should see us with our praise. Oh, man, I'll never forget this. I love it. Remember when we pray or someone says amen and I hear toot, it'll go, amen. Little boys, I was like, I love that, dude. Like, that's so adorable. But that's him witnessing a believer's example and a seed being sown into his life and that he's going to be able to nourish and grow in, and it's going to come to him naturally. That's things that I would not change anything. But if I could just imagine something that I would have loved to have out of everything and anything, it was just to be a sooner knowledge of the Father and His Spirit and truth. So that way I could be even like more wrapped around it. Because it's not so much about knowledge and power, but instead security. And knowing that whatever you're going through, that He loves you. That's the love that can get you through anything. That's the love that Joseph experienced through each and every moment of hell that he had to go through in his life. Because, I mean, I couldn't imagine going through that. But he knew the love. And you gotta remember, Yaakov instilled that in him. Because all these things began to take place whenever he was 17 years old. So that he would have had that instilled in him every day of the year, continual, embedded in him. The Torah, the understanding, the love of the Father. And that's why Yosef was able to see his father in that light, because his father was operating in that light. I mean, that's how I want my stepsons to see me. Well, there's a memory I will never let go of. I remember when, I think it was during around the time of COVID. And we had the menorah at the home was being used a lot. And it was just me and Logan one time. And out the blue, it was just like, I want to learn more about the Bible. I was like, I was making sure, I was like, what's up, buddy? It's like, I want to learn more. I was like, yeah, no problem. When I had the menorah on the table, he asked about the menorah. I explained that to him and what it represents spiritually. And we went literally to the beginning. And I was just showing him, like, how amazing is this? That we serve a creator that created all these things for each and every one of us to benefit from, to be a part of, to subdue. And we were going through different things. And at the end of it, he goes, I want to pray for my friend. Can we pray for my friend? You know, out of respect, I'm not going to say his friend's name, but, you know, because he was going through a lot. But to be able to see that fruit, to be able to see that come forth from him, and just to know that I got to be a part of it, I give God all the glory. I give him all the glory and honor. But it's in those moments that you realize that you get the opportunity to instill something that could be a seed that ultimately could just be a mustard seed. But it could be the very thing at the very moment when the Father is just continually watering on that it breaks forth through the surface so that way that it could grow into something great and mighty. I'm telling y'all, I used to never be this emotional. The Father's good. I feel like a sponge, just cry. Okay. I'm not going to have enough time to get to the Jeremiah account, but I at least want to get to the John account, the 1 John account. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28 through 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 through 10. And that's because it's what the subsection is not with all, it's not all in the same chapter. Now, I don't have this in my notes, but thankfully I'm reminded of it. Is the children that's referred to here is a whole nother word. It's techion. But this time it's more about the principle being applied. And this is the direct messaging from the Father through Yochanan to his people. So that's why we're all his children. So I hope I didn't offend nobody when I started this thing off calling everybody children. All right. And it says in his title, children of God, children of Elohim. And now, little children, stay in him so that when he appears, we might have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone doing righteousness has been born of him. See what love the Father has given us that we, we're going to the next chapter. But see what love the Father has given us that we should be called children of Elohim. For this reason, the world does not know us. They might know of us, but they don't truly know us until they know our Father. Because it did not know him. I could have just read the rest of the verse. Beloved ones, now we are children of Elohim, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone having this expectation in him cleanses himself as he is clean. Everyone, and it comes with that warning, everyone doing sin also does lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you think about the fact, and I'm glad I reminded of this, because we spoke about submission to authority, and we think about all the things that's been happening. We see it on the news with ICE, Venezuela, Russia, China. But like thinking about it on that local level, on how important it is to literally our lives to make sure that we are able to abide in a certain expectation as his children and how we behave. Because we never know a moment that we may have. We go on a grocery trip and there could be things unfolding right there before you. And thankfully, he's given us a peaceable mind as his sheep to be able to follow the shepherd instead of acting like a wolf going, you know what? I'm going to stop that ICE agent. I'm going to get them. That's messed up what they're doing, all this and that. You get caught up in the drama or you want to pick a side and just try and just be part of it. But we see time and time again, a lot of the times, those that are the ones that are being a part of it, trying to stop law enforcement from doing what they're doing. I can't be the judge and say if it is right or wrong. I don't know enough about the situation. But why? Why put yourself in that position? To oppose law enforcement, which is an act of lawlessness that can literally result in death. And we're seeing it time and time again. But this is a benefit of being a child of Elohim, is that we have understanding. We have knowledge, and we know how we need to subject ourselves before the things that are set in place. Because ultimately, people can talk about the world is chaos, and the world is this, it's out of order, it's all of these things, and all these things are true. But at the end of the day, the Father has the final say-so. And the only thing that holds us all together is him. So if there's things taking place, it'd just be wise to realize that the one that has the enemy on a leash and his son at his right hand is the one in control of all things. And respectably, whenever people at work bring it up and they're like, what do you think about this? Whose side are you picking? What are you? You're a Democrat? You're a Republican? You're what? You a communist? What are you? I said, I believe in a monarchy, which means you believe in a king. And that's who I serve. I say, he's going to get every answer to your questions right. And it's all in the word. So, oh, you like to play it safe. Like, yeah, that's right. Because when you play baseball, you want to be safe. Here we are. Thank you. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Everyone staying in him does not sin. Everyone sinning has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one lead you astray. The one doing righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. The one doing sin is of the devil, because the devil has sinned from the beginning. And this is Yochanan, this is John's powerful words of making people come to a self-awareness in their mind, in their spirit beings, home, and realizing, okay, so that's where the line in the sand is drawn. Because I'll establish who I am based off of what I'm doing. And I know that seems like such a simple thing to say, but I love it. Everyone having been born of Elohim does not sin, because his seed stays in him, and he is powerless to sin, because he has been born of Elohim. And this, the children of Elohim and the children of the devil are manifest. Everyone not doing righteousness is not of Elohim, neither the one not loving his brother. And I don't have the rest in there, but it goes on to loving your brother. And it goes on to really great and incredible things. I'll leave it up to y'all if y'all want to read it. But it's a beautiful realization that the choice is that simple. It's so simple that a child could even understand. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful that I get to be a sibling in this beautiful family, and that we get to serve the Father. We get to be a part of his house being built up. We get to draw near to him and receive that bread. We get to settle in a place to where we can draw near. I mean, it's just all the stuff that goes forward and the stuff that you can get whenever you spend time with your Father. And you know, a lot of times we can get caught up in wanting it to be so profound, and almost like Albert Einstein himself is like coming up with this incredible formula. But it's a simplicity. That's what I love, because the flesh can make things complicated. But thankfully, we have a Father that watches after us, makes sure that we're in his providential care. He provides for us and he blesses us if we're willing to be good children. Settle down. Don't run with your bread. I love that. Absolutely love that. I was so tempted to try it at home. But I love y'all, and the Father's good. Shabbat shalom.